Ah, yes, time to shine. Yep, didn't win Powerball. Voss and Brandy with you. Just a little hangdog expression on the face of Brandy. I'm looking at him now. Matt at a panel. Did Joel Kane win it, or has he got monkeypox? There's all sorts of theories. Joel not with us again in Drive this afternoon. Welcome to Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. We are broadcasting through 1170 SEN. Where else would you want to be? You'd want to win Powerball and not work. Maybe me. SEN track on the Central Coast and the Illawarra through 90.3 FM in Griffith, and to those listening anywhere around the country on the SEN app, love to hear from you this morning. In fact, if you're overseas listening right now, love to hear from you on the text 0457 736 736. Call the McDonald Jones open line 1300 01 1170. We are here thanks to our major sponsors, Bryden's Lawyers, the lawyers protecting your future. You can call Bryden's Lawyers on 1800 848 848. And we're here also for Card.Gift, Australia's one-stop card shop, gift card shop, Card.Gift. I encourage you to just log in, check the website out and see all they have to offer. And thanks to Card.Gift, we've got $50 FPOS gift cards to give away throughout the program every single day just for you for participating in the show. And don't forget, you'll never miss any of the show if you subscribe to the Breakfast Show podcasts. Just search for Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on your favourite podcast platform and click subscribe so you never miss a thing. We'll have the Saturday edition of the program app. I noticed yesterday we have, as I introduced Brandy, we have all this great hard-hitting sporting debate, and yet the most downloaded piece yesterday was when we lost it talking about monkeypox and the symptoms of monkeypox. So there you go. That's what the program has to offer. That's where we've reached in our careers, Brandy.
Yes. Andrew, what am I looking forward to this weekend? I'm glad you asked, because there is so much sport on. There is so much sport. We'll have a chat about the Brisbane-Newcastle match last night, which was extremely interesting, to say the least. The US PGA is underway. Round
the golf
one.
Desk.
Yeah, there's plenty of desks, because there's Premier League action, there's golfing action. There's so much to look forward to over the next 3 hours. And then the weekend will continue, where we've got the Tigers and the Dogs. Now, all the pressure's on the Dogs. Have we just forgiven the Tigers? They've had two wins this year.
They
beat the Eels, they beat South. They have then lost their next three games. Is there any pressure on the Tigers anymore? Or do we believe that they've just got something now? That Jackson Hastings at halfback has given them a new lease on life, and we've just sort of thought, well, you know, down those sides down the bottom of the table, we don't have to worry about the Tigers, because we know that there is something there. There's an ingredient there that was missing.
Brandy. They're crippled by injury, and Brooks has added to it this week. So there's only Hastings on his own. Jock Madden coming back into the side. By the way, we've got world record swimming as well.
We have
records at the national titles.
Zach Stubblety Cook.
Yeah,
which I loved his name. I'd never heard of him before the Olympics. And he's a gold medal winner at the 200 breaststroke at the Olympics. But he's broken the world record overnight, which is terrific.
I reckon, I know we've had a bit of fun about Commonwealth Games, people not really caring a great deal. But they reckon that we may even have our most successful Commonwealth Games ever in the pool. The performances. And we are talking world-class performances, not just best in the Commonwealth. You know, world records will fall at the Commonwealth Games.
Tell me you don't get interested. Yeah, look, tell me you don't get interested when someone is representing Australia, whether it's the Commonwealth Games or not.
Was that a question, Brandy? Or
yes,
that,
that's
like,
a question.
Did you want an answer to it?
Yeah, yes, I want an answer from you, because I could just hear in your voice, look, the Commonwealth Games has gone down a couple of notches, but still, when they get on the blocks, and will you be watching?
I won't be watching up.
Hang on. Where are they, by the way?
No, Birmingham. In Birmingham. You're saying to me, so the judge of how important something is, if you would set the alarm middle of the night to watch, and I would for the Olympics, I won't for the Commonwealth Games. Obviously, in my job, I'm getting up early at 4, so it's going to fall into line. If there's night swimming in Birmingham and there's finals, I'll be watching. But if there was something on at, 2 a.m., I'm not getting up to watch an Australian compete for gold at the Commonwealth Games.
No, okay.
Brandy. I'm not disrupting my sleep patterns middle of the night to watch Commonwealth Games. Do listeners agree? 1300 01 1170. Text 0457 736 736. I think that's a fair barometer. Do you set the alarm to watch? How important it is.
Do you set the alarm for many things apart from getting up from work?
Sure.
Set it for last round
of golf and things like that. Have all my life. Challenge Cup final, rugby league. You stay up to watch it. There's nothing better than watching it live when it's a big big event.
That's absolutely true. Yes. Now, apart from all the sport we've got to talk over the next 3 hours, we've got some very good guests coming up on the show. Very good. Leon Cameron will join us, the former GWS head coach. James Tedesco. Now, we spoke to Nathan Cleary yesterday, the Panthers captain, with their big game coming up at 7:30. The game you are calling, Roosters-Panthers at the SCG. Am I right? You are calling it? Yeah. You're at the ground.
Brandy, I'll say this. You know you're a rugby league supporter when people ask you, you know, who's going to win Saturday. And you say, oh, well, actually, I'm going the Roosters. They go, no, I meant the election. Oh, right. Okay. So you know that you're a real rugby league man, because I was asked that yesterday. And yes. I said, you know what? I think the Roosters might beat the Panthers. And the person did want an answer on the election.
But right.
There you go. And then my second answer was, I think the Cowboys will give the Storm a run for their money. So
I think they will. The I'm doing that one.
The result of the election. We need a pundit on, see, because
I was going to vote yesterday. Enough. I was going to vote yesterday because I thought I'll get it out of the road, because I'm no chance Saturday. I'm just no chance. I'm that busy Saturday. Apart from calling the Cowboys and Storm, I've got boys playing rugby league. We're all over Sydney. I won't get to the polling booth.
Brandy, I think I read somewhere this is the highest pre-polling and postal vote in Australia's history. I think
that was 6 million.
It might be one in three.
6 million.
Have decided they're all going to be busy. They're going to bypass the sausage sandwich at the local school if that's where you vote. And
what happens if I forget to vote today and I just can't get there tomorrow? What will happen to me?
What do I look like? I'm from the Australian Electrical.
I don't know. But have you ever been in that position where you haven't been able to get to the voting?
I got to find one saying I hadn't voted, and I had. I had to prove and say, well, look, I was here.
Right.
And they then dropped it. But I will say this, that I'm not relying on Greg Alexander for the last word on the election, nor should people be relying on Andrew Voss for the last word on the election, or Charlie Goodsir, or whoever got on the program. We will have on the program this morning an election bunker between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. We have managed, we understand, a person emailed us in to say, I can get Alan Jones.
Really?
Representing the right.
Yes.
And Bob Carr, representing the left, will be our political pundits on between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. Right. You go out and beat those Mexicans in the Origin. No, we're playing Queensland. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, we've got some heavy hitters coming on the program this morning, or people we believe are Bob Carr and Alan Jones. We're not quite sure if they are.
Okay. So, apart from Bob Carr and Alan Jones, James Tedesco will join us. Talking about the Roosters and the Panthers.
James' thoughts on it, who wins Saturday.
Yeah, so if you're a Roosters fan out there, just throw us a text. Anything you want to know of Teddy, we'll throw at him when we get him on.
Now, a little bit more debate on last night. Is it a shame that... because I fell into the trap last night that all I talked about after the game was, oh, great, Kevy's won five in a row. What about that Gagai no try? What about the try? We focus on the refereeing perceived blunders in discussion straight away after the game.
Yes.
Is that a good or bad thing, Brandy?
It's a bad thing. I don't like it.
But put the handcuffs on me, because I'm doing it now.
Yeah, I know. But let's talk about Brisbane winning five, and good on Kevy, and 36-12, five in a row.
All right, we'll finish that discussion. We'll finish that.
That's boring, isn't it? That is boring.
The Gagai no try.
Yes.
Can someone on our open line or text say they agree with a bunker decision? Can we find someone who says, I agree, the decision was right? Because I'm thinking...
So just for those that
don't know... The only person in the world who thought it was no try...
Yeah, was the man
Grant
upstairs.
Atkins. He's saying that the ball came away from Dane Gagai's hand.
And I don't think it did. I don't think it came completely away. And you use super slow-mo and go, oh, well, maybe, you know, the couple of fingers came off it. Still had the ball was still in contact with his wrist.
Yes.
And then he controlled. There was no doubt about the put down. He got it down fine. The rule is, you know, if you lose control of the ball, that you need to re-grip it.
Re-grip it.
Yeah. Which I don't know if I've ever seen it done before, but I don't think he lost control of the ball.
I don't know.
So that rules out the second part about having to re-grip it. Which he did to get it down. So
anyone out there, like, you'd like to think someone, like even an ardent Broncos fan, might not say it was that they were expecting try. Like, yes, that's got to be the barometer of a howler. And then secondly, you might have to explain this one for our listener. The obstruction inside your own half,
mm-hmm,
where Tamaro Martin runs around
Jordan Rickey
and Adam Clune grabs Rickey, and we're saying, I think everyone is on the same page. If that happens 10 metres out from the line, Brandy, try.
Yeah.
Because it happens 60 metres upfield, but they make the break from it and score.
Well, they score a try. At that stage in the game, the score was 14-12. Broncos were up 14-12. Kalen Ponga had scored a great try, and it was a much better performance from Newcastle. We haven't even touched on Anthony Milford yet, but that try from Selwyn Cobbo, his first of, he then scored 7 or 8 minutes later, and it ended up being a whitewash. So the important one was that. Now, Adam Clune went up to make a play at Jordan Rickey. Jordan Rickey was standing his ground. Mm. Tamari Martin ran behind him, ran directly. And back in the olden days when they used to use common sense on obstruction, and they go, well, was he obstructed or not? We see plenty of plays pulled up when a player runs an outside line, runs from the inside shoulder of the lead runner, and they go, well, you know, that's the end of the story. It's very black and white. When did it, last night it became very grey. So it's gone black and white for the last few years now. And we've all understood, well, that's the rule. Yeah. Look, he really wasn't obstructed, but it's black and white. Last night, Tamari Martin disappeared behind Jordan Rickey. Now, what the defender actually lost sight of the ball and the player with the ball. And they said, oh, yeah, but he passed it before he ran behind
past
him.
Past him.
What?
Past him.
What? But they were that close together that he was obstructed.
That's right. Obstruction is the moment you're behind the player, defender is obstructed. You don't have to run out the other side.
You can't get to him because he is behind that player. It was like the old blocker play. I'm going to stand here and I'll let that bloke, my teammate, run behind me. I was stunned with that one. And here we are. Yeah. We're going harder on the refereeing decisions, the bunker decisions. Right. Then we are talking about Anthony Milford's performance or Tyson Frizzell, how well he played for the Knights, and just how good Selwyn Cobbo is.
Oh, Selwyn Cobbo. Now, we can talk about that. Selwyn Cobbo. Now, I'll throw it at you, Greg, because you're – and not that you – if you can take off your New South Wales cap, because that you care who Queensland tip, but Selwyn Cobbo, Queensland origin?
He's in the side. He's in.
Yeah.
He's the first winger I pick.
Yeah, wow.
He's the first. And then, you know, we pick Xavier Coates or Corey Oates, but it'll be Xavier Coates. So he's the first winger I'd pick.
Yeah. By the way, before we move off the referee, back to the referee stuff, I think we are obliged to hear from Adam O'Brien, who held it together in the post-match press conference, the Newcastle coach. And he didn't say we weren't beaten. You know, like, he's not saying, well, that cost us the game. But he did, I think, express the confusion of every single person watching the game or listening to the game last night. Here's Adam O'Brien.
I think if that happens on the 10-metre line or on the try line, the rules should be the same all the way down the field, in my opinion. 14-12, I thought, hang on, we're coming back here, but no. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, no one did. Because no one can explain it. So that's therefore something that can't be explained, Andrew, is something that people don't understand. And that was Adam O'Brien, and he was with everyone else watching the game last night.
Now, the other thing about the Brisbane performance, no Adam Reynolds. He missed, if you weren't aware, he pulled out injured. So their main man is out, and they have still ended up winning 36-12. By the way, the scoreline blew out, and there was intercept right on full-time as well. Herbie Farnworth racing away. So the scoreline, Newcastle weren't as bad as 36-12.
No, they weren't.
Were
no,
14... far more competitive than they've been over the last couple of months.
Yes, 14-12 with 15 to go. Brisbane ran in four tries, and the back-to-back tries, the Cobbo then Oates immediately in the following set, broke the back of Newcastle.
I'll say this, Newcastle played better last night than when they played the Bulldogs last week and won.
Oh, 100%.
That highlights the performance.
That's how bad the Bulldogs were last week.
Yeah, at 18.5 after 6. Gus Gould, it's written today, stands to pocket up to $1.6 million should the Bulldogs qualify for the finals in coming seasons and make it all the way. So it's like a KPI.
I haven't read the fine print of that one. I just saw the headline. No, and 1.6. That's good. Is that in one lot? Did you read the fine print?
No, I haven't read the fine print. I just want to go to one of the biggest stories. When the headline is Raiders shock bid to split up NRL glamour couple.
This was my favourite headline.
Adam Elliott. Glamour couple. Is that where we're at?
Yes, that's where
glamour
we're at.
Glamour couple.
Did that pop up in New Idea or something?
Was
that
A-listers. Adam Elliott. Like, you know, I'm organising a launch of a car and we're having a big do. Get me rugby league's glamour couple. That's the first thing the PR agency says. Can you get them? Can you get me Millie Boyle and Adam Elliott?
Yeah.
Because that'll be the one.
So she's led, she's put the pressure on the other half of that glamour couple, hasn't she? Like, she's off already. She's signed up with the Knights. Ooh. Will Adam follow? It's riveting stuff.
It is. Well, follow the progress of that story in New Idea. You're right. It won't be in the rugby league pages. It's in New Idea, the glamour couple. The Raiders have the flu or the monkeypox or something like that. There's at least eight players. By the way, Josh Adokar's out tonight.
I know. It was
flu, gone.
Disappointing.
So the flu is real. Magic round flu, they're calling it. It's the new COVID, it seems.
Lieutenant
SCN
Dan.
With coverage of Tigers against Bulldogs tonight.
Yeah, Lieutenant Dan went down with the monkeypox.
Gone.
Matt's
gone with the monkeypox. That's it. That's what I said. He was eating a banana yesterday. Zach Stubbelty-Cook, we've mentioned, outstanding. A bit more to the Cody Simpson story we'll talk about today. It's not as clear cut going to the Commonwealth Games. Kyle Chalmers throwing a spanner into the works. Brandy's got the desks happening. I can see him there. Trellis tables from Bunnings, the football desk, the golf desk will be up and running. And at Sydney FC, they've kept faith in Steve Corica, who's a really good fella, a new two-year deal despite not making the playoffs. Well done. Some stability at Sydney FC. Sydney Swans playing tonight. So we got sport coming out of our you-know-wheres. By the way, Powerball, two unregistered winners. So two winners, each getting $40 million, Brandy. One from Victoria, one from Fairfield in Sydney. Ooh. Ticket bought.
Yep.
At a newsagent at Fairfield in
Sydney. Good on them.
But no one knows who won it yet.
No, good on them.
And the Powerball was number three.
You love your numbers.
There we go, number three. 21 after 6. Give us a call right now. 1-300-01-1170. Text 0457 736 736. Can you look past the refereeing controversy from last night, or would you like to discuss it? We're fine either way. After 6. By the way, Tiger Woods shot +4 in the same group as Rory McIlroy. So the only times he has shot Rory McIlroy, the three previous times where he shot 66 or better opening round,
yep,
he's won 3 from 3 in majors.
Okay. Well, he's sitting at the top of the leaderboard at 5 under the card. He shot a 65.
Now, is the football desk in a position where we can go to it now? Have you unfolded the legs?
Yes. Let's go to the football desk with Greg Alexander. There's some massive games in the EPL and implications for the bottom of the table. Burnley in action against Aston Villa. It's 1-1 there. Burnley, of course, sitting in 17th spot. Vossi, Chelsea and Leicester are 1-1, and those games are both 70 minutes in. The other one is Crystal Palace taking on Everton. Everton in relegation zone. They were down 2-0. It is now 2-2. So Everton have fought back. It's 2-2 after 82 minutes in that one.
Lots of texts and McDonald Jones open line callers there. A few of the texts. Vossi and Sagusto. I know what an obstruction is now. It's clear to me. It's called the bunker. By the way, I bought 12 bananas when I went to Woolies last night to buy mints. Is it early monkeypox symptoms? Well, again, don't come to us for medical advice. We're just sharing what people are finding out there, that they're suddenly throwing poo at other people and picking fleas off other total strangers. So obviously very, very weird disease. Mark from Mortdale says, I'll definitely be watching the Commonwealth Games from Birmingham on the provision we get the local coverage. They have the best accent in Britain.
Oh, the English accent. The English callers.
He's won the breaststroke.
Right.
Is that what they want?
Is that a Cockney accent?
Yeah.
Right. James, you're very good.
James of Ornsby.
Hello, James.
Hello. I don't know if I'm lucky. If I'm lucky, I know I'm just driving the bird just shattering the windscreen. Well, but anyway.
Is it still dark outside? Gee.
What, you don't think birds poo in the night?
What early morning one?
Might have been a bat. Might have been a bat on its way home to my roof.
James, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. There's a couple of scenarios regarding gag-eyes, try, no try.
Yep.
If I'm in the middle of the play and someone passes the ball to me and I catch it, but then I juggle it and I'm getting tackled and then I regather it before anyone takes it, is that play on?
Yeah, as long as it doesn't touch a defender. Yep.
Yes.
Okay, and now another scenario. If I say a bomb goes into the end goal, I jump up, I grab the ball, and as I hit the ground, it jumps loose, and then I grab it again and ground it. Is that a try?
Yes, it is. Again, as long as it doesn't touch a defender.
Why then isn't it a guy to try? Because he had the ball, lost it, and then he grounded it before it hit the ground or a defender.
Because under the rules, you can't
regather it.
You can't,
is what they say.
Yeah,
the ground can't be have the ball suddenly back under control.
But we're saying that he didn't actually lose control. He didn't lose the ball. It was still sitting on his wrist. His fingers came off the ball, but he still had control of it. Anyway.
Thank you for the call, James. Interesting start. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Thank you, Alana. And talking about live in the studio, they're going to be on the show. They're not in the studio, but James Tedesco on the show today. Leon Cameron, after his last day as GWS Giants coach, he was there for 10 years because he was assistant in 2013 and then took over in 2014. Terrific fella, and really looking forward to hearing Leon. Now that he's got a weekend off, Brandy, and we've got some great audio from his last day in office. Now, the desks, the desks.
Got to go to the football desk, Andrew.
Oh, let's do it.
Need to go. Everton have scored their third goal, so they were down 2-0. They've scored 3 second-half goals to go to the lead 3-2. They're 87 minutes into the game, and this will be massive for them. They'll go to 39 points. I think that's it. Everton are safe. So if they can hang on to the 3-2 scoreline as it stands, Everton will not be relegated. They will be in the Premier League next year. So for all those Everton fans, what do they call the Everton fans? What are they? What's their nicknames?
The
Toffees.
The Toffees.
That's
the Toffees.
Right.
Yes. The Evertonians.
The Toffees. Yeah.
The Toffees. Now, here's a question for James Tedesco, Brandy, before we get to the joke of the day. And the biochemist has texted us. Mm. The biochemist. He says, can you please query Teddy as to why his strides keep coming down? Has the elastic gone? Are they old superstitious lucky pants? Haven't seen this frequency of de-panting since Nathan Hindmarsh, the doctor of crack.
That's a good point.
James Tedesco.
I have noticed that a fair bit.
Out comes the Chaminda Vass, the blurter. Mm. It's a big run with Tedesco.
It's quite a size too. It's quite a healthy, yeah.
The buttocks.
Yes, very powerful. Yes.
Powerful buttocks.
Very, very strongly built through that region. That's why it's so hard to tackle. That's where he gets his power from.
A bit too excited about the telling of this story, Brandy. have we got the construction worker from the village people's number? Can I just check with him what happened in Mexico?
We had a hell of a time in Mexico.
We did in Mexico.
Did we?
Yeah.
But I have noticed that too. Teddy, maybe players tackling from behind. He might need to wear some tighter shorts. Mm. Well, yeah, certainly fix the elastic up.
Now, it's all pretty random. We've got here James of Hornsby was on the open line, on the McDonald Jones open line, and he said that a bird had just shat on his window. This text here, birds go to the toilet at night even more frequently when they get older. Is that true? Is that true? A statement of fact? I don't know. We're just throwing it out there. This one, morning men flabbergasted how the referee and bunker tainted a great matchup. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Okay.
There's a text.
Yep.
Read them as they come in.
Stevie Wonder in the bunker last night. That's an old one, isn't it? Been a no-try for years and Gago scored. Yeah. The Chook Man.
Yeah. Oh, that was good, Zach. Love that. Stevie Wonder must be the bunker.
Let's not leave Jay hanging on. Let's get it out of the road.
Joke of the day on Friday morning. Here we go. I've got to admit, I have been using some of your material, Jay, just because the wife doesn't listen to the show at this time of the hour, so I produce Jay's jokes later in the day, and if it's good, I own it. If it's bad, I say that was one of Jay's. Sorry, Jay.
We stand for Jay. Come on, Jay.
Hashtag I stand with Jay. Jay, yeah. Bring it home on a Friday, my friend.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, I used to go out with a deaf girl. And I remember vividly the day she said to me, "We need to talk." That wasn't a good sign.
That's good. I'm really worried where we're going to go. This show, I mean, seriously. What's going on?
That was hard in mouth then, wondering where Jay was
where it was going to go. Could have been anything. Yeah. Jay, a fantastic end of the week, mate.
Wow.
And
so
we'll see you Monday. And Jay, may I report, has magic round flu.
Has he?
Yeah. No spots appearing yet. So we've just diagnosed him with magic round flu. A comment, quick comment on James Tedesco before we take the Ken Oath too. Teddy has a Tomahawk steak Chaminda Vase. Some players with their minute steak Chamindas.
Yeah, okay. So, yes, it's meaty.
Understand the
technical. Very meaty.
Right, 37 after 6. Kennard's Hire on a Friday morning as the sun comes up. Is there anything more romantic? The team ready to go all around the country to help you get the job done. Here comes Michelle.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Michelle, are you ready on this Friday?
Ken Oath.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Well said.
I have to say, guys, I might be a little bit rusty this morning. I went out last night, which is, I don't do that often doing Brekkie Radio, but Chumpy Pullen Foundation, their gala dinner, huge effort from those guys. My colleague Matt Shervington hosted it. Mick Fanning, what an absolute trooper. He bidded for an auction item that got up around the $20,000 mark. Just the athletes that were in the room were amazing. Of course, Chumpy Pullen, the two-time world champion snowboarder, passed away tragically. And these athletes are now trying to raise money to put back into that sport so it can continue to develop and give young Australian kids opportunities. So big tick for them.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Now, Vossie and I have been discussing very quickly because we don't know any of the fine print about Gus's $1.6 million payday. What has to happen?
Now, I think this is from one of those well-placed sources at clubs. I don't know. This is a little bit weird, but someone in the club's telling anyone that wants to listen that Gould's base salary is in the vicinity of $800,000. But if the Dogs qualify for the finals in the coming seasons, he pockets an extra $200,000, and so the bonuses go on. There's a whole load of key performance indicators that make up, you know, if they make the top four, he gets another bonus. Guys, we're not even close. This is breaking news, is it? We're not even close to making this happen. It's not going to happen. This is a non-conversation. It'll be absolutely impossible for them to make the top four this year. Carry on to next year. I can't see it happening. So it's a bit of a waste, this conversation. But I will say
Can you confirm, Michelle? I'm asking a hard-hitting question. Is there any sort of Chinese restaurant incentive in the contract of all free
food? That's in clause 12.8.
That is part of it?
12.8A? Yep, that is.
Well,
absolutely.
I think that's where they're working out the dollars. He'll get
free
about
lunch every day.
$300,000 worth of Chinese food at the league's club restaurant, and that's where it becomes a bit murky. That's my understanding, and you've confirmed
absolutely. No, you're right. You're right with that, Bossy. But I also wanted to point out, on a more serious note, that Trent Barrett, obviously, he severed ties with the club earlier this week or at the weekend. He was paid out some money, and they're talking figures of around $600,000. I think that's just living in fantasy land. I can't see that figure, and I know they're not a charity, but I can say that he definitely was sort of looked after to move on and go about, you know, his business.
Okay. Now, Sam Walker is a Queenslander, but can he play for England?
He absolutely can. For those of you who don't know that Walker is eligible for England because he was born in Leeds. Now, his dad, Ben, was over there playing with the Leeds Rhinos when his mum was pregnant and obviously gave birth. So he's actually among a few contenders that may surprise you. We've also got Jackson Hastings that's able to play for England from the West Tigers. He's on that list. He's actually already met with the England coach, Sean Wayne, when he was over there playing. So watch this space. What is it with with England stealing all of our athletes and our coaches, and what's doing?
What is doing? Just on Jackson Hastings, is there, Andrew, you watch the Super League. Is there a halfback over there that is better than Jackson Hastings?
Oh, probably not, but the thing was that he's already been there and gone out of the system, Jackson Hastings. So he wasn't a current England international. Yes, he played for England while he was over there,
yep,
but then lost his spot. So
right.
I don't know whether his papers then got stamped. Well, NTA. We gave an Australian, if you know what I mean, we gave yep. an Australian a go, and it didn't work out. So will they go back there? That would be the only impediment. If his form stayed as it was, then they'd be mad not to at least look at him.
Yep. Yep, yep.
But if they're doing it out of, you know, we're just not picking him again, well, I think that's ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, agree. Craig Bellamy, what's the news on bellyache?
Well, guys, we see some interesting haircuts, very interesting styles in rugby league, strange cuts, colours, you know, mullets.
No.
I can reveal this morning that the peroxide blonde that Cam Munster and Brandon Smith are sporting hasn't been a choice. It's not a fashion statement. It's part of a punishment system at the Melbourne Storm. Now, the players came up with this idea themselves, so when as players pulled up for a minor indiscretion, they have to roll the dice, literally, and the number on the dice basically chooses their fate. So it reflects a whole range of punishments, and the number they rolled basically gave them a choice of shaving off their hair completely or dyeing their hair. Obviously both opted to dye it, and it looks terrible, hence the blonde. Some of the other sanctions include eating the world's hottest chili or just paying a fine. And Craig Bellamy, he's not immune to it. He's a part of this, very much a part of the system. But he actually likes the fact that it's lighthearted, but it's player-driven. We're not talking about serious breaches. It's things like if you're late to training, or you know, you wear the wrong sort of socks or something. It's not like if you're, you know, going out and ripping up the town. You don't roll the dice to choose your punishment. But for them, it's all about a daily reminder of you know, structures and standards at the clubs that's driven by the players. I kind of like it. Bit of fun.
Yeah, just good stuff.
Not if you lose four in a row. It's not fun.
Well, look, the Storm's in a position where they
have
can
have they lost
fun.
Four in a row in,
no,
in 20 years? It just hasn't happened. That's why, it's interesting listening to Cameron Smith, and I listened to, you know, him and Den and Kemp yesterday, and Cameron's never been in the position that many of the listeners that ring in and, you know, want, you know, to hear what Cameron's got to say, and of course makes great sense, but the Melbourne Storm have never been in a position where Craig Bellamy was under pressure, the coach was under pressure, the team was under pressure. Like, how many times over the last 20 years have Melbourne lost three in a row?
Cameron Smith gave the story not so long ago when they'd lost five in a row one season. And they were walking off Wollongong.
Was that 2010?
And it was more recent than that, I think.
Really?
And Cameron said that Craig Bellamy admitted to him privately, I have no idea what's gone wrong.
Yeah, I do remember him saying that.
He said, I don't know. I don't know.
Yep.
Can I finish this report with a Brian Tyler? You know one of the nations he could represent if they had a team?
No.
Take a guess, a country. China.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I follow a site he can play for. It's International Rugby League, who they're eligible for. So somewhere there in the parents, grandparents, there must be Chinese heritage. So
right.
Brian To'o,
yep,
it is claimed, could play for China.
There we
go.
If they have a team.
Well, see Super League, they're onto something, weren't they? Didn't they say that, if you join Super League, you'll be walking down the streets of China and people will say, hey, there's Andrew Eddinghausen.
what I like too is that Jamin Salmon, what country do you think Salmon could play for? If you were
the Salmon
country,
James
Salmon.
Salmon.
Where would he play? He'd play for?
I don't know.
Canada.
Canada, right.
John West. He's eligible for Canada. I don't know how, but I'll just run through a few in the morning. We might
is that
play
legit?
The who can he play for game.
that's tougher than the birthday game.
Nathan Cleary's Croatia. There's some Croatian there.
Is that
he
right?
He can play for Croatia. Okay, I think we need to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
You've taken the Ken Oath. Will you be back at 7:30?
Ken Oath.
Double down. Kennard Tire makes your job easy. See them if you need stuff for the weekend to get the job done. They are the people to see. It's 6:45.